You're listening to Inside Content, the TV industry podcast. This show is brought to you by 3Vision, a global TV industry consultancy specializing in content acquisition, strategy, research, and business development. Each episode, we give you VIP access to the views and experiences of senior TV executives and discuss the latest TV industry trends and insights.
Hello and welcome to Inside Content. I'm Toby Russell, CEO of 3Vision, and on this episode I'm joined by Shalini Koshal, who leads European business development for media and TV partnerships at Samsung. We do a fascinating deep dive into Samsung TV's services business, including the dynamics of how they partner with content providers and explore the evolution of the TV OS space. Hello Shalini, thanks for joining us on Inside Content.
Hi, Toby. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
Super. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation to dig in a bit to what's happening at Samsung in the TV space, and particularly about your partnerships with TV companies and other kind of premium content providers. So maybe to kick off, you could just give us a bit of an overview of your role at Samsung and kind of the key areas that you're covering.
Of course, yes. So I'm responsible for business development and partnerships with premium app partners for the Samsung TV ecosystem across Europe. And what this means is we work and collaborate with all types of Europe-based content providers and media companies. They could be public sector broadcasters, commercial broadcasters, pay TV platforms, telcos, and app-first partners on primarily enhancing their app and content discovery on our smart TVs. So my team and I develop and manage these partnerships and relationships with these premium players. They could be multi-territory or they could be local partners. If they are local players, then we work with our many different offices across Europe to support our colleagues and teams with those relationships. And just to give some context, as you know, app distribution on smart TVs is by now pretty well established, especially with the continuous growth of content streaming. And we see it as a mutually beneficial relationship. Our app partners help us deliver the best content to our TV users, and we help them distribute their content in an easily accessible way to their existing users while also bringing new users to their services.
Hey, thanks. That's really interesting. So when you're negotiating a deal with a premium service that's coming onto the Samsung TV platform, what are the key different deal elements that each side is focused on, and how do you kind of navigate around that to come up with a deal that works for both sides?
Good question, Toby. So, you know, before we talk about deal elements, let's start with the fundamentals of what makes a great partnership for me. And it is about finding common ground by understanding a partner's business, their strategy, the various areas of operation, and also the areas of focus going forward in the mid to long future, and sharing ours with them. Especially, you know, you said if it's a new service coming onto the platform, all of these things become really important for us to understand. And that's because our services ecosystem is constantly evolving and expanding. And so I want to understand what that crossover is between us and them. What are the various overlapping touch points? So the best deals and partnerships, you know, are those where both parties have the trust to share such information to make the best possible alignment. And we don't see that in all instances, because each content partner is different. The personalities of my counterparts vary. Some relationships might be longstanding, others new, like the new service coming onto the platform. So not everyone's willing to share their strategy and plans openly. But undoubtedly, our best partnerships are those where we've built this mutual trust. Now, you know, the second point is that Samsung is a great partner for premium streaming services. We have a huge base of 50 million TVs in Europe, 200 million worldwide, and a well-established platform on which these services can distribute their content to these millions of users around the world or in specific territories. So running such a significant platform is pretty complex, as you can imagine. And for that distribution, we seek a fair value exchange.
Right, right. And in terms of the, I don't know if you can talk a little bit about the sort of different components in that, because I think that obviously there's things around kind of on-screen placement and prominence. There's yes. Having a dedicated buttons on the remote control right. is something that's been done for quite a long time. I think has been quite successful, but obviously there's a limit. It's interesting because there's a limit in terms of the amount of on-screen kind of real estate, but there's also particularly a limit on how many dedicated buttons you could have on a remote control sensibly.
Correct. That's what makes it premium real estate, yes. So, I can talk a little bit about that. The deal elements, as you said, tend to be around search and discovery on our platform, and everything you've mentioned falls in that category. Some of the other elements tend to be around product integrations that benefit both us and the premium services. They could be around platform fee that is dependent on the services business model or models if they have multiple. And also very strategic collaborations like advertising, mobile, gaming, or FAST. So these tend to be the various areas of cooperation.
Okay, and things like when you talk about products integration, I'm not sure I entirely understand what does that mean?
Well, that could mean, metadata integration with the partner's content to then make their content as part of our search and discovery, which is really important because we want to offer our users the best possible experience when they're searching for something. It could be around integrating with our billing service. So there are different types of product integrations.
Okay, got you. And then in terms of advertising, is that there you talking about, the partners securing, kind of advertising opportunities from Samsung to kind of additionally promote their service? Is that what we're talking about there?
Yes. We are talking about that. And that, again, falls into discovery on the platform. So discovery could be by way of making the app visible via the UI, through advertising, or through other means.
Got you. I mean, it's really interesting because I think discovery, I feel like, is something we've all been talking about forever. And yes. It's getting better, isn't it? But I think when you look at lots of, there's still plenty of services that you go on and you use as a kind of consumer yourself, and you think, this is really difficult to find the piece of content that I'm looking for, but I know it's on here somewhere.
Toby, you're absolutely right. Every player is investing a lot in discovery, but it has the potential to be much, much better.
Yeah. It's kind of harder from a tech point of view than one would imagine. You would think it would be quite simple, but obviously it's not. It's not. It's more difficult.
Exactly.
What we're seeing in the marketplace, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, is that there seem to be a number of a kind of increasing number of players coming into the TV OS space that are working with other TV manufacturers to kind of improve their propositions. Do you see that happening? Do you think there's going to be more of that? And how will Samsung be working to maintain your strong, I'd say it's definitely strong competitive position in the market?
So Toby, as you can imagine, I think about it a lot, this particular topic. And the TV OS space has always been different from the mobile OS space, which, as we know, has been a duopoly for a very long time. And the TV OS space has so many players entering recently. The good news for us is that we've been the number one TV manufacturer for 18 years in a row. And we feel we are well positioned to continue to lead TVOS as a true global operator. You know, our OS is in every single country. And our strategy is, of course, to deliver our unique OS and service experience on our own TVs, as well as on third-party TVs, and not just be competitive, but to maintain our leadership position. And we think we can do that in three main ways. So firstly, by innovating. Luckily, innovation is in Samsung's DNA, and you see this innovation across multiple product categories, not just TVs. You see it in phones, you see it in home appliances. There's massive innovation going on in Internet of Things through our SmartThings platform. So that's one way for us to maintain leadership. The second way is by being competitive and maintaining competitive advantage throughout the value chain. So obviously, underpinning this innovation is this intense drive to be competitive across all elements, from manufacturing cost to user experience, to customer experience. And, you know, this advantage also travels through a services ecosystem, which is world-class and continues to get enhanced. You know, we add on new services, owned and operated services all the time on our ecosystem. And then, you know, when you look at our foundation of a very significant and well-established local sales and marketing subsidiaries in all important markets of the world, a very strong retail network and very high brand awareness, where a top five brand in the world for awareness. We feel it's not really easy for newcomers to break into new territories. It's a pretty heavy lift. So yes, the second point is, you know, maintain this competitive advantage throughout the value chain. And then finally, obviously, you know, let me talk a little bit about being great OS partners. So we are focused on offering compelling, creative, and unique proposals to our TV manufacturer partners, and to bring more value to them when they partner with us, especially given that there are so many players out there. So we feel that, you know, by innovating, by maintaining this competitive advantage, and by being great OS partners, we will continue to lead the market.
Super. That's really interesting. On the OS partner sort of side, I'm not that familiar with what you're doing there. Could you give a little bit more information on that?
Sure. Yes. So 2 years ago, we decided to expand our OS to third-party TVs. And our plan is to continue growth in that direction. So maintain leadership by selling our own TVs, our own branded TVs, but also by licensing OS to our manufacturing partners.
Right. Okay. And do you think that's, are there any kind of examples of deals that you can share there? And do you see that being a relatively kind of small sort of share of what you're doing overall, or might it become kind of more significant?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't want to just highlight one specific deal. But it is important to us. It will be important to us. Currently, the share of our third party OS TVs is quite small as compared to Samsung branded TVs, and that will increase over time. So we're in no rush to grow that share, but we are focused on growing it.
Over the last few years, I think we've been seeing that service-based revenue is just increasingly important to TV manufacturers generally. And, you know, I think if you look at the financials of some of them, they're not really making any money out of hardware. All their kind of revenue is coming, or profit is coming from services. I'm interested, you know, how you see that kind of trend evolving. And also, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the sort of challenges that, you know, not necessarily Samsung, but just manufacturers generally face in that sort of pivot away from being a kind of a pure hardware play to a services, kind of to a sort of hybrid hardware and services business.
Right. Okay. So, Toby, you actually said it, you know, this pivot's happened because of the very high margins from services versus hardware. So we see this incredible opportunity and understand this expansion from manufacturing to this hybrid model, which includes services in a very large way. And I feel a lot of the service-based revenue will be related to advertising revenue as the connected TV advertising continues to evolve and ad budgets shift from traditional broadcast to OTT. And we all keep talking about improved segmentation and targeting capabilities, but that's really key to this growth of services revenue. I feel that lots of different types of TV manufacturers are uniquely positioned to continue to monetize services. And I was thinking about two main categories of manufacturers. If you look at people like us who own their OS, you know, we will continue this services expansion by delivering a wide range of content, whether it's premium entertainment, gaming, or health, both owned and operated, like our TV Plus service, and third-party content, you know, and making it free to watch or paid. So that's one way for us to capitalize on our services revenue. The second is obviously by our sophisticated ad platforms that smart TV manufacturers have, and some of us have. And the third way is by licensing the OS to other manufacturers that we were just talking about. So this is the first category of people like us who own their OS and their expansion into services revenue. But even manufacturers that do not own their OS or their own services ecosystem, I feel they will increasingly strike OS licensing deals that will lean further into ongoing services revenue. So while they might be challenged to not have their own services capabilities, I think the business deals that they will make will include a lot of the services capabilities that they will partner with other service providers.
Okay, got you. So they're working with a third party that effectively, you know, provides them with a whole, you know, services
exactly.
proposition, and then they benefit from a revenue stream from that. Obviously, not as high a. You know, they're not getting as much of the revenue stream because they've got to share it with their partner, presumably. But then they don't have to make the investment in actually building that kind of, you know, whole OS and services proposition in the first place.
Absolutely, you got it. Yes, that's what I feel.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Interesting. So we've just really recently seen a move by Walmart, which is obviously probably the biggest sort of retailer in the US with a massive growing sort of advertising business. They've made a move to buy the manufacturer Vizio, which I think is really only just active in the US. Interesting move, and I think there was various rumors and theories that they were maybe going to buy Roku, but they decided to go for Vizio. Do you have any kind of comments on that? And do you see more deals like that happening either in the US or in other markets?
Yeah, really good question. So, you know, I feel there is obviously incredible advantage in running an end-to-end business and owning all components, provided one either has or sources the expertise to run all aspects competitively. And Walmart and Amazon stand apart from the rest of the players in that they both now own the hardware, the OS, content services, and a large marketplace. And of course, this deal brings together, you know, Walmart's consumer shopping and ad data with Vizio's data, which makes a really good deal for them. So obviously, it's very, very interesting. And I think we will see activity in this space. But the US is very unique given the scale of the market. It's one large country, you know. So and so I'm not sure if it would make sense for European retailers to purchase a TV manufacturer or an OS provider, given the complexity and fragmentation in Europe. So I feel that rather than acquisition, partnerships that we were talking about earlier might be a better fit in Europe and for smaller markets. That's what I think. And I also wonder about the longevity of so many TV OSs in the market. So I expect to see some kind of consolidation and change there.
That's a really interesting analysis. I think you're probably right right with that as well. Let's talk a little bit about pay TV, because we're obviously a lot of pay TV operators now, certainly the bigger ones, are trying to be the kind of, you know, aggregator of, you know, all content and bringing together linear channels, their own on-demand services, third-party services, and, you know, they're going to market in their traditional ways with their own, over their own networks and with their own set-top boxes, etc., but also sometimes becoming apps that go onto other platforms. How do you see that space evolving, and also what are the kind of dynamics in terms of those kind of more traditional pay TV operators working with a company like you at Samsung?
Right. Yeah. Great question. So pay TV operators, no, I feel they've always been aggregators. You know, for example, historically, they've aggregated channels from other media companies. So aggregation is not new for them. And including other direct-to-consumer services in their offerings is an expansion of aggregation for them. And they've also historically been bundling experts. So given their billing relationship with their users, they're well-positioned to be these experts. So I have two main observations. One is that given their historical expertise, I would have expected the speed of aggregation and bundling of other services in their propositions to be faster, because obviously we see the streaming services striving for profitability and operators have been concerned about cord cutting for a long time. So it's a good coming together of the two parties, and they might have benefited each other by joining forces sooner. My second observation is that a certain segment of consumers still wants the pay TV solution with one bill and multiple services, you know, TV, your fixed line, broadband. It's a very compelling solution. But there will always be a segment that wants only free content, or mostly free content, with one or two services on top, especially with household budgets getting stretched, as we've seen in this current economic climate, you know, for many years now. And smart TV players are catering to all segments, obviously, but also to this particular segment with our own fast offerings and with the app ecosystem that we talked about earlier on our TVs, giving consumers this choice to subscribe to only the core services that they need or to not subscribe at all. So I think that the broader TV market has room for different types of platforms, whether that's smart TVs or traditional pay TV operators, which is, you know, actually really good for the consumers, and it gives them plenty of choice. And when it comes to, you know, another point about our relationship, smart TV's relationship with pay TV operators. So for us, pay TV operators and telcos are often very good strategic partners to the wider Samsung for our mobile and TV hardware divisions. And so we find ways to complement each other's businesses in multiple ways. And so, you know, I really think that the market is large enough, as I said, for both of us to coexist and aggregate and cater to different demands.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right, but I think we'll have to like wait a few years and see how that all evolves. Super.
Yes, so, as with everything in this space.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, just to wrap up, thinking about the rest of this year, what are the things that are going on at Samsung that you're most excited about and you think will have the most impact on the market?
There are two things on the services front that I'm really excited about. One is the evolution of the types of services that we offer and what that roadmap looks like. And I'm talking about our owned and operated services. That's exciting for me. And the other thing is licensing our OS that we talked about a bit earlier. So these two things are the ones that I'm most excited about this year.
Great. Well, I guess on both of those, we'll have to keep a lookout for developments and deals being announced. But that's been a really, really interesting conversation. Shalini, thanks for your insights and, you know, sharing so much. I'm sure our listeners will really, really have enjoyed this this discussion. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Toby. I really enjoyed talking to you as well. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside Content, the TV industry podcast brought to you by 3Vision. With decades of TV industry experience and real-world success, we know the ins and outs of the market like nobody else. To learn more about our TV consultancy services, head to 3vision.tv.